This recording, South Africa 48, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a vegetarian nurse who had been working daily at the old zoo in the desert district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a super private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she left stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in a mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter for the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itching goose became a strut around the office like a landed tick, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Coma Coma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing a tune for her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose became so tired, so Sarah was able to hold onto Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison's, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Out Bay. I've got 2 brothers, 3 sisters. My father is dead. He was a fisherman. I've got a mother still left. Growing up in Out Bay is not actually easier because this is a poor city that we lived in, and some of our kids, some of them go to school and some can't because our mothers can't afford it. But for me it's fine here because I know almost everybody here. Most of the people in the high places, they know me. Yeah, and my job doing is like scuttling every day. I've got 3 children and 1 granddaughter. Yeah, and I'm living with a boyfriend. He used to live here in the Heights, but his mom and his dad is dead. And we live in a bungalow. I went here till standard 5, then we moved around. Yeah, and we was chucked out of our house. So my father was on sea that time. So we had to go to Mitchell's Plain and we came back to Out Bay. And when we came back, my father, he bought us a bungalow. Yeah. And living here in Out Bay is nice for me because it's near the sea. And yeah, it's a friendly place. But now lately it's hectic here because it's shooting gun and you don't know if your children is safe or what. Yes, I have to stop schooling because I had to help my mommy. So I found myself a job at the factory working with fish and that. But the factory that we worked with closed, so I didn't have a job after that. It's just we're scuttling through the bins, the recycling bags, and if we get something that we can fix, like an old phone. I know how to fix old phones, that's the way I learned myself to do those. Yeah, broken things I can fix, working with electricity I can fix. So when I fix it, I sell it to people. Sometimes I get money, sometimes I don't. Yeah, everybody likes me because when I got stuff and I don't know what to do with it, some old lady comes past and says, I've got something nice for you. But I don't have money. Then I say, I don't want money. I'm just giving it to you because I know you would love it. So, and I've got 2 parents, some in the white industry. Like the one girl was just turning 21, so they gave her a surprise 21st birthday. But I cope with everything. Because I keep on praying to my God, yeah, because he's my only help. I got some nice people there I know, and yeah, just being myself and not being somebody else. I'm not. All I know, my grandmother, my grandfather, they were Hottentotte. We call them Hottentotte, yeah. And my father is a Wambo. I can't, I don't know. But there is people who can speak the language. Before you get Mount Delapak, you will see there's a place with a shed there. People yeah. living in bungalows, that's the people that can still talk that language. Yeah, they do that. But it's nice. I tried, but I didn't go further. I said to myself, I don't understand what they're talking actually. So I just leave it just like that. And you get some old men that looks like the Hottentotte live, with the skin of the animal and the thing that they use around the head. And when you go to Snookers, you stop there. You just look up and you will see his place there with the horses, chicken, all kind of stuff. He's a Rasta. I cannot remember what is his name, but he's a very nice man. I don't worry about that. I'm just loving my life. Just being me, and I'm being like the same with white, black, colored. I'm just being the same, that's all. I just pray to him while I'm walking, scuttling. I sing and I pray and I just talk. That's all I do. Yeah, sometimes I feel sad and I can't keep my tears and I just cry. I don't care who's watching me. I'm just doing it the way I want to do it. I don't want to be a burden for anybody because I've got my own kids to worry about. He is a very good friend. I see that he met me in the street and we talked about it. And it's very nice to meet you. Yeah. God is not liefde. Hij is die almachtige God, ons prijs om. Amen.